The Bible is funny.
Well, hello out there, the Bible is funny podcast family. It's been a while. It's been a couple of weeks. Ended up taking a little impromptu time off from the podcast. Been running pretty hard after the podcast for the last, 2 years-ish, with a degree of regularity. Never really took as long a break as I just did. I knew I didn't have one for a week, and I ended up just kind of stretching it out a little bit, taking some time off from the podcast. But I am excited to be back, excited to get rolling again. I never know to do seasons or a season break. I haven't really built that into the rhythm. But I'm back today with an episode. It's just me. I should start with introductions. I'm rusty at doing the podcast. My name is Anthony Russo. You're listening to the Bible is Funny podcast. This is where we talk about the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. Like I said, it's been a while since we did the podcast. Some things I thought I needed to catch you up on. You know, it's been a while. We're into, as I record this, it's August. We're into August at this point of 2022. Things that happened since we last got together, me and you. Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson broke up since we last spoke. I hope you've given yourself proper time to grieve through that, however that process has looked for you. Rachel and I finally started to watch Stranger Things, which is I feel like it's super annoying when being this friend that's so late to this party that's running around telling everybody, I just watched season one of Stranger Things. Wasn't this part so cool? And everybody's like, I kind of vaguely remember watching that 5 years ago. Even diehard Stranger Things fans. Man, it's a great show though. Shouts out to Stranger Things. I'm about 80 days behind on my Bible reading plan for the year. So that's going well. And this is kind of a big one that I'm looking ahead here at over the next couple weeks is we're coming up on a year since my book came out. So I wrote a book, for those of you that might be new to the podcast, called Curiosities and Uncommon Sense from the Bible. And it's almost at its first birthday. So I'm very excited about that. It was such a fun project. I've heard from so many of you that have read it and enjoy it. Just really, I can't tell you enough. I think I talked through with you guys some of that process of you work so hard to write it and try to get it right. And you all, I almost forgot that there would be a point where people would be reading it. You know, some people are reading it with their teenagers as a family. Some people reading it, giving it to a friend. It's unreal to me. It just has not worn off this whole year. So thank you to everybody who has bought it. You can get it. It's available. If you go to my Instagram at The Bible is Funny, it's available at the link in the bio there. But appreciate hearing from everybody that has read. If you are reading the book or you have read the book, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. You can message me on the Instagram, but you can get that book, Curiosities and Uncommon Sense from the Bible. It's a devotional book, 60 days, just little segments you read every day, and you can stick with it. And you can't fall 80 days behind because there's only 60 days. 80 days, man. I'm going to have to really take a long, hard look in the mirror there. So I wanted to go through a text today. This is kind of a throwback podcast. This is back, for those who've been listening for a long time. This is, what I really at kind of the heartbeat of this is going through stories from the Bible. And I came across this story a couple different times and I kept wanting to dive in on it. And I had some other podcasts going on and I felt like this was, it was time to walk through this with you. So it comes from John chapter 9. That's the story we're going to read today. And I just got the giggles with this story. I thought it was so great. And I'm excited to walk through it with you today. So we're in John chapter 9, and we're just going to go through this old school style. The original Bible is Funny style. We're going to walk through the story, talk through it together. This is John chapter 9, starting in verse 1. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. This is Jesus walking here. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And a couple of things here to start right off the bat. The disciples are articulating here this question of like this blindness being sort of like this consequence of the sin and who's to blame for the sin, kind of this tally total of who did it, who's responsible, who to blame. I can't help but think as they're walking along that the blind man has to really enjoy hearing this line of questioning. He's sitting there, you know, blind and hearing people ask openly if it's, you know, his fault that he's blind because of his sin, or maybe his parents. Maybe we can blame his parents. Go to verse 3. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. I think this is kind of funny because the blind man doesn't see all this happen, right? And no one's, I'm assuming no one's like commentating or giving him any sort of play-by-play on it, right? Jesus just walks up, maybe he hears like a faint sound that Jesus makes this mud and just rubs it on this guy's eyes. So I don't know if this guy's aware of what exactly is on his eyes at this point, right? He just feels someone putting something on his eyes. Verse 7, "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. So it's an amazing miracle here, right? Like the guy's blind, Jesus spits on the ground, makes some mud, and this guy can now see. This is first 7 verses. Now in verse 8, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Verse 9, some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." So here, there's the turns of this man's life so suddenly, right? He's blind. You know, a lot of times this was not like an easy society to be blind in, right? There's not a lot of accessibility, you can imagine, going on at this time in this place. His life is very difficult. And now he can see. So he's got all of that excitement. That's so cool. Oh my goodness, look at how beautiful the world is. And look how beautiful the people are. Look at everything I can see. And then he's met by his neighbors saying, "No, I don't think that, you know, I don't know this guy's name. Maybe it's like, maybe it's Jerry." And his neighbors greet he's got this amazing story, this amazing experience he just had. And his neighbor's response is like, "I don't know if that's Jerry. I don't know if that's him." Some claimed he was. Others said, "No, that does look a lot like Jerry, but I don't know. Something's different. I don't know if that's Jerry. Something's changed." And there's Jerry like, "I can see. I don't know if that's maybe what you're noticing." Like, "No, that's not it. I'm just not convinced you're Jerry." And I'm not sure what we're doing for identification at this time. I don't know how Jerry goes about proving that he is Jerry, right? Like, maybe he was at the city gate. He overheard a conversation that he now has to, like, "Remember, I was there when you were arguing with your spouse about blah, blah, blah." Like, how does Jerry prove he's Jerry? So nobody, you know, he runs into this right after this. Others say, "No, he only looks like him." He says, "No, I'm the man. I'm Jerry. This is me. Guys, it's me." Verse 10, this is also great. Verse 10, "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." He's got the story down. He's got it very, very concise, very compact, hitting the bullet points, getting the word out. Then verse 12, "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. All in verse 12. "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. "I was blind." If you remember back to that part of the story, I was blind when I interacted with this fellow. I walked away. I left the fellow, a blind individual. I went to the pool. I washed. I could see again. guys, I don't know where he went. I'm not a good source for this. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. So then in verse 13, the story takes an interesting twist, right? Because you could imagine there would be a stir in the community. This was a blind person in this community. This person can now see. Unbelievable. Everybody's responding. It's a buzz. No, people want to know because of course they do. This is a miracle. There's a miracle that happened in this little town. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Bum, bum, bum. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Verse 15, he put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. He's getting the story even tighter. This guy, he's really trimming characters down. He put mud on my eyes, I washed, now I can see. Verse 16, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. This is a reasonable response, I suppose. You know, the prophets had done incredible signs in Jewish history. This is what the Old Testament they grew up on. So he says, this is my take. He's some kind of prophet. This is where I've seen precedent for this. This is Jerry talking here. He says, he's a prophet. Verse 18, they still do not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. That's verse 18. So man is blind at the beginning of the story, interacts with Jesus. Jesus, you know, the disciples ask this question, where the blind man's parents' character is brought into question. Jesus says, you know, don't worry about that. This was so the power of God could be displayed in this man. So he makes mud, heals the guy. The guy has to first convince his neighbors that he is still Jerry. He's just seeing Jerry. He's no longer blind Jerry. you have to ditch that nickname, whatever nickname was associated with my inability to see. And so then he kind of has to convince his neighbors that he's questioned by the Pharisees. They also don't believe that he was blind from birth. All this has got to be so difficult to prove all of a sudden, right? Like this was your experience every day for your whole life. And I can imagine Jerry's frustration to now be at a loss of like, how do I prove I was blind Jerry just a few days ago? And now they're bringing in his parents. His parents are coming back into the story, here in verse 19, or verse 18, I'm sorry. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? That's verse 19. Verse 20. We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. The parents passing the buck on this is so jarring to me. We know, like, parents, I'm a parent. The immediate turning it all back on this kid, on Jerry. Jerry whom they raised. Jerry whom's scraped knees they mended. Whose grilled cheeses they cooked. This is Jerry. This is your son. And immediately when this comes up, the Pharisees ask, is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see? They're like, I don't know, ask him. I don't know. Surely Jerry's told you the story at this point. Your son was blind. Now your son can see. This is amazing. I don't know why Jerry's the only one pumped about this. Jerry's got to be beside himself. Jerry's like, guys, this is an amazing thing that happened to me. And you guys are wondering if I'm actually Jerry. My parents are scared of anyone asking about this story. This is unbelievable. I used to be blind, now I can see, and I'm the only one who's excited about it. He's of age. He'll speak for himself. Why don't you go ask Jerry? We don't know what happened. We're a little suspicious. Honestly, we don't know if he was blind. Was he pretending to be blind that whole time? Could have been. I don't know. Maybe. They're just running, distancing themselves from this so quickly. Verse 24. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. Verse 20. Give glory to God by telling the truth. Love that little nudge there of like, we gotta really weight down this question. You know, really, we really gotta inspire him to give us the answer we're looking for here. Verse 25, he replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. What a response. Just an absolute perfect response. Jerry is beside himself at this point. He has just had the single greatest experience in his entire life. He was blind Jerry. He's now seeing Jerry, and he's the only one who's excited about it. And he's trying. He's really breaking this down for people. Guys, I don't know why this is lost on everybody. I used to be blind Jerry. That was me. I was blind Jerry. That was who I was. That was me. And now I'm seeing Jerry. I am a Jerry who sees. Guys, is this what's not sinking in? Whether he's a sinner or not, I love that line too. Because the Pharisees say, give glory to God by telling the truth. They said, we know this man is a sinner. Guys, well, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. I don't know. I have no clue of this man's entire moral background, okay? Here was my experience here. I feel like you guys are lost in the details, and you're missing my big story I just experienced. Verse 26, then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Again, we're asking back in the details. Verse 27, he answered, this is Jerry speaking, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? The sass coming out of Jerry. Jerry has crossed over. He's jumped the shark. He is now just going to be fresh with everybody. He's done. He's done being asked about these questions. He wants to go see things. Jerry wants to go see the world. And who among us, if we were in Jerry's seat, would not? And instead, he's being asked to repeat this story over and over again. These silly details that he's covered several times, and no one seems to be excited for him. So he's just had it. Why do you want to hear? I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? This is also the sentiment of all of us parents who are driving the car, answering the same question over and over and over again. I told you already. I told you the answer to that question. I told you why there is a sun in the sky and what it does. Why do you want to hear it again? I've told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Such a little poke. And they definitely respond in verse 28. Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. Love this back and forth. Verse 27, do you want to become his disciples too? Verse 28, no, you are. Come on. How great is that? Nuh-uh, you are. What a burn from the Pharisees. No, you're a disciple. It's a great comeback. Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. Verse 30, the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Love the opening of this. Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. Guys, I've been blind this whole time. I've been blind while this man's been alive. I don't know why you guys, what's your guys' excuse? I don't know how you didn't see this guy coming. I mean, I know why I didn't see him coming. for obvious reasons. We don't even know where this fellow comes from. Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. So there we're back to that sin at birth conversation we kind of started with. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" This is Jesus talking to Jerry now. "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him." Got him. Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Verse 40, some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" Again, the Pharisees are so bad at these exchanges. The Pharisees are just, they struggle. They struggle when you're kind of going back and forth. You know what I mean? That verbal sparring. The Pharisees, they had most of them had the bulk of the Old Testament memorized, which is impressive. Their inability to verbally spar, not impressive, right? We saw it earlier. We saw it earlier with the "no, you are" comeback. And here they go again. Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What, are we blind too?" In verse 41, Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." So the Pharisees are like, "Oh, you're going to say we're blind? Is that what you're going to say?" And then Jesus is saying, "Oh, if you're telling me you can sin, Jesus is saying, "If you're telling me you can see, that's so much worse." It's so much worse. They just are so, these exchanges, it happens over and over again. They're not quick on their feet. They struggle here, guys. They're backpedaling all the time. "No, you are." You guys trying to become his disciples. "Nuh-uh. No way. You are." I love this story. I think it's so funny. The parents, the layer of the parents who, you know, are at first kind of being accused of where their sin plays into this. And then honestly, I do start to question their morality when the second they have a chance to kind of take up for their kid, they completely turn it back on their kid and say, "We don't know, ask him." But I do think there's a, you know, we like to talk about the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. So I like to point out one bit of this story that just is, it really jumps out at me. So like I said, it starts with, in verse 3, the disciples asking the question. I think it's the disciples in verse 3. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus responds, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." The Pharisees, later on, here in verse 34, when this conversation's not going the way they planned, are so quick to bring up to this blind man, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" So they're saying, they were quick. It's so obvious that the Pharisees, like just under the surface, are keeping a running tally of who's better and who's worse, right? Like for them to be like, you were steeped in sin at birth, that's why you're blind. Like that reasoning was just below the surface. This was the way they saw the world. There were people who were better. There were people who were worse. And it was obvious by the way that their life circumstances were playing out. And it's so great to see Jesus just earlier in that chapter, like essentially saying, like, "Neither this man nor his parents sin. I'm not playing by these rules. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this tally game that you guys play. I'm not doing that. That's not what we're about." And the Pharisees, the whole structure they had was so based on this person's better, this person's worse, this person's more loved or blessed by God. That person is not and could never be. And Jesus was ushering in this way of, "I'm not doing the tally. I'm not doing the tally. There's nothing that I'm gonna say. Well, that person, or it's that person's parents, is this sort of family that can never work their way out of this situation." Such a good reminder. And I know stuff like that seems so basic if you've been in the faith a long time or you're real familiar with the Bible. But it really is just a, I love these stories with Jesus where it just seems to flow out of him, you know, like everybody's kind of wrestling. They're asking these questions, like the disciples asking that. They're asking that because they're trying to understand more, like they're trying to figure it out. Okay, here's a blind guy, and this is the way they've taught us, is that this is like a consequence of sin. So did he sin or did his parents sin? Like they're trying to kind of do math equations on the world, right? Well, did 1 + 1 = 2 or did 2 + 2 = 4? Which one works here? And Jesus coming in and saying like, no, we're not, this isn't the way we're doing this anymore. And even the idea he kind of shares there, I think is so interesting, that this is so the glory of God can show through this. So this difficulty, the circumstance this person found themselves in, it's not necessarily a consequence of sin, but it is an opportunity for the glory of God to be shown through it. And it's such a beautiful way to encounter situations and to be present in these moments and to see it through that lens is beautiful. And that's the way Jesus is inviting us to see all of these situations, all of these people we interact with. So big takeaway there is, you know, if you get the chance to turncoat on your kids, you know, take it immediately. Right? I don't know. Ask him. I don't know. Too good. Too good. I love this story. John chapter 9. Well, hey, everybody, thanks for listening. We're back. We're going to be doing podcasts more regularly. Got some really fun guests lined up. It means the world that you listen to this podcast, that you make it a part of your day or a part of your week, part of your car ride, something you listen to while you're at work, whatever, however this fits into your life. Thanks for making it a part. It really is just so fun to know that there's listening family out there. So thanks for listening. If you haven't already, leave a review wherever you listen to the podcast or rate the podcast. Those are two ways you can help us to grow the podcast. It means a lot if you would take the time to do those things. And you can always follow at Instagram and TikTok now, at The Bible Is Funny. You can message me on either of those platforms. I'd love to hear from you. And like I said, we're back at it. Doing more podcasts. We'll do another one here really soon.